even though I'm passionate about music, like Hades is a business. It's a project. Because it is a job. It's a job that I'm passionate about and that I'm grateful for. And I put a lot of my own self and creativity into. But it's still like a separate entity from me as a human being.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Headliner Mindset Podcast. Today's guest is an incredibly talented artist, music producer, singer, songwriter, and performer. She has been bridging the worlds of electronic music and rock, releasing on huge dance labels like Mousetrap and Monster Cat, while at the same time writing and producing for massive bands, including Bring Me the Horizon. She has an incredible success story that I'm excited to dive into and share with you guys. This is the queen of the underworld, Hades.
Hi.
What's up, my friend? So good to see you.
Good to see you, too. And forever.
First things first, EDC. Just played EDC for the very first time a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Tell me about it, because that is pretty awesome. First off, congratulations. Like, what a huge milestone in your career.
Thank you. I think it was just really surreal. Obviously, like, you know, playing the actual stage and doing the DJ stuff is like awesome. And it's really incredible experience because there's just so many people. But I think more so just like kind of the feeling I had going into it, like all my friends were there. I was just surrounded by like so many people that just like they're like rooting for me because of me, and like just reflecting back to a couple years ago and then just thinking about now, and I got pretty emotional. I don't know, just one of those moments where I was just really, I don't know, like there's so many times I feel like I think about myself like day one of sobriety or like back in like 2018, 2019. I wish I could be like, hey, it's all going to work out, I was so scared and, you know, like they thought everything was just going to go to shit and nothing would ever be okay ever.
Yeah. You know, I feel like EDC is this sort of career milestone. It's like the mountaintop for a lot of people, right? I want to play what is the biggest festival in North America, one of the biggest music festivals in the world.
I think it's the biggest in the world now.
Yeah, yeah. So I imagine you've been dreaming about that and thinking about that for a long time, as many other artists are. What was it like to actually be up there? Was it like you expected? Was it different? What was it like?
I mean, I have started to do this thing where like every show I put my expectations at zero and I just assume that it's going to be horrible so that every single time it's like awesome, even if there's not that many people there. It was really cool because I felt like the crowd was really just with me the whole time. Like it's very rare, especially during club shows. A lot of times you have to do a little bit more like crowd working, you know, like you have to kind of get on the mic more and be more like involved. I don't really like being on the mic that much. So it was nice that I had got to do like minimal amounts of that and just felt like they were totally with me. Like it was awesome. I mean, it was really crazy. And then like watching the videos from it, I'm just like, whoa,
yeah,
like, that's wild, you know? And I think that I think it's really important just to be like grateful and kind of sit with that, because you're always going to want more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get booked for this festival and then you want to play later and you want more money. And then, you know, you want. And so it's like really important for these kinds of things to just like be, I don't know, grateful.
Yeah.
And like present with it. But yeah, it was really awesome. I saw a lot of people that really mattered a lot to me over the weekend, and just the fact that my whole team was there and they ride so hard for me, and like my best friends were there and they were telling me how proud they were of me, and it was really cool because it was just, yeah.
Well, look, you deserve it. You've earned it. You've worked your ass off. I've known you for a long time. You were one of my music business students at Icon Collective. I don't know how many years ago.
In 2016.
Yeah. So a long time. And I've seen your journey, and I know it hasn't been easy. And you mentioned sobriety a moment ago. And you know, I know that was a big part of your journey and a big challenge. And also something, though, that you have really gotten to the other side of now. How long have you been sober?
I will look.
Check
the app. Yeah. It's been 3 years, 4 months, 4 days, 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 51 seconds.
Let's fucking go. You know, I always talk about how a huge part of my coaching process and philosophy is celebration. And I just really want to take this moment to celebrate you and really, really acknowledge
you.
Thank you. Because, yeah, I know it's not easy, but you're a fucking badass. And I'm just so proud of you. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, with my sobriety, like, I always am just like, what the fuck? Like, it's so weird because, like, I think that especially before I got sober, like, drugs and alcohol were just such a part of, like, my whole life and identity. And I never thought that this would ever be, like, possible. So it's definitely a trip. Every time I think about it, I'm just like, what?
Yeah. And when you were in that, you know, I think for a lot of artists, and especially in the dance music community, it's like the whole industry is economically run around drugs and alcohol. People go to parties, you know, so it's like it's very accepted. And so
for sure,
I'm curious about, like, you know, what your relationship was with it and with partying. And did you see anything wrong with it at that time? Or was it just like, hey, this is who I am, and like this is part of being an artist? Because I get the impression that sometimes, you know, artists are, it's just part of the lifestyle, and it's everybody encourages it in a way, and it's like, it's okay. It's like, yeah, you're an artist, you get to party.
Yeah.
Right.
It's definitely romanticized for sure. And that's not just in dance music, just in music in general, because it's like that whole like archetype of be like fucked up, tortured artist is like pervades the music industry. And it's like really, really, I do think that like as of recent years, it started to change a little bit, just as this kind of flip side of the like oversaturation with the rise of like the independent artists, just because the era of like there only being one Kurt Cobain or one Amy Winehouse is over. Like there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that are super hungry. So it's like, you know, if you're too difficult to work with because of your habits, your drug habits, your alcohol habits, like you're probably not going to get very far. And that's not like, you know, it's not like a totally fixed problem. It's definitely still like very real, but I do notice it getting a little bit better, especially just with like people being more aware of like, you know, like fentanyl being and everything. And, you know, like there's a lot of different pieces to it. But I've thought a lot about this, and I think like there are a lot of people that behave like addictively or engage addictively when it comes to like drugs and alcohol and music because of like overabundance and like accessibility. But for me, I am like a drug addict. Like I am like the like textbook definition of an addict. Like it's not just because of convenience. Like I will go out of my fucking way to get high, to get drugs. And I've always been like that. Like I've been like that since I was like a kid.
Yeah.
I've always been into drugs. And I think like a big piece of it, which I realized recently, was that I think like I was always like bullied, and I always had, you know, trouble like socially with things, especially like being on the spectrum and like not really understanding it like as a kid. Because especially when I was a kid, like you think of like the autistic kid, and you think of like the boy on the playground that like says really off-putting shit and like doesn't want to talk to you at all. But the way that it presents in women is so different, because women are typically way more like socially aware and emotionally aware than men are. At the end of the day, like it just wasn't really understood and how it presents in like women. I remember like I was diagnosed when I was like 14, but me and my dad were just kind of like, no, that's not real.
Yeah.
But since then, I've always done drugs. And I think like drugs obviously like made me feel like more okay with like myself, but also gave me this like bridge to people, you know, that like made me be like, oh, like I do drugs, you do drugs, like let's do drugs together. Like I have drugs. So like feeling like I was a part of or like valued in some capacity, I think was like a big part of it. I've always been kind of like that like weird kid. I don't know, like even when I was like younger. And my therapist and I have talked a lot about this because sometimes I watch like my neurotypical friends like interacting with people and it's like fascinating because I'm just like, wow, yeah. Like I would be like that.
And when did music, I know you were a classically trained pianist, right? Like you grew up playing music really young. When did becoming an artist become part of your identity as well? Has that always been there?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been like artistic. I started playing piano when I was really young. And I first started playing violin because I was like, I want to play the violin. My dad was like, what instrument do you want to play? And I was like, nothing. And then he was like, no, you have to pick one. And I was like, okay, violin. And then I switched to the piano for no other reason other than I was lazy and I wanted to sit down while I practiced because I hated standing up and playing the violin. And I like practiced a lot. Like my dad was like really hard on me when I was like younger, just forced me to practice and things like that. And
do you think
I'm grateful for it now.
Did that carry over into how you approach music production?
No, not at all. That's a big reason why I like ended up going to school for music production, because I know that like I wouldn't have been able to like push myself to do it on my own. I just don't have that discipline, or at least at the time, I definitely didn't have it.
Yeah.
Even though I fucked around a lot in school, like it still gave me like a little bit more structure and a little bit more like, hey, like do this. This is due by this day, which made it a little bit easier for me to like do that kind of stuff because I just didn't have a very strong sense of discipline or time management at the time. But I mean, the skills like musically definitely transferred over into my music production, not necessarily the discipline of practicing. But yeah, so music has definitely been a part of my life for a long time.
When did you decide that you wanted to get into music production and be an artist?
It just kind of was this thing that like unfolded as it unfolded. Like I never like was like, oh, I want to be a DJ or I want to be an electronic music producer. Like I was in treatment when I was 16, 17. I went to this like therapeutic boarding school residential treatment center type thing for kids. And that was kind of when they're like, okay, well, like, what do you want to do? And previous to that, I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know. But I had a friend that went to the LA Film School for music production, and he was kind of talking to me about it. I didn't even know there was a difference between music production and engineering. I didn't know anything about any of it because like my dad's a composer and like a musician, but he's not like a producer, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't really understand like what all of that meant or like the differences between things. So then I just went to the LA recording school and they kind of explained to me the difference between recording engineering and like music production. And I was just like, okay, I guess I'll do music production. So I went there for that and I would do like the little projects and then they would always end up sounding a bit more like dancey. Even though I really don't have any history with the rave scene or the rave culture, like I went to my first rave in, I think, 2014, which was like maybe the same year that I started going to that school. It was a cool like school. I really didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. So it was nice to have that kind of like introduction. But I definitely, like, my projects always leaned a little bit more, like, into the electronic side. And so we had this project at the end of the program where we had to, like, brand a project or whatever. And that's kind of when I came up with Hades. And
which
at that time...
so fucking sick. I think you have the coolest brand in the world. Like, it's so dope.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so
good. Well, the brand, I think, developed over a long period of time. At the time, it was more so just like, oh, this is a cool name.
Yeah.
And, like... That's
actually really cool to see because, you know, I work with a branding agency out of Orange County called the Cult Creatives, and we do a lot of really cool, fun branding stuff for artists. Usually the way I've always seen it is it's like the brand is the package. It's like the wrapping paper that you put that you present your gift in. And it's almost like you had the packaging before you actually had the product, right? You kind of had the box before you even had the gift made and figured out.
Yeah, well, I think like the way that I launched this project was so like informal. Like I was just putting shitty beats on SoundCloud and I'm like, this is what I am doing. Yeah. And it was so like informal. And then I just started meeting, like I was going to like Space Yacht and I was going like to different festivals and stuff. I just randomly like started meeting people and I was like DJing these little like parties in LA, like these little like backyard parties and warehouse parties and stuff. And over time, it just became like a thing and it was very much like not planned. And then after a while, I realized like, oh, like I should keep doing this because like it's working, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And at the same time, it was working, but, you know, you were also still kind of going through your, you know, recovery process and you still had like drugs and alcohol as part of your life. How was that affecting things as you look back to what life kind of used to be like when you were in that
like phase? How it affected me like that at that time?
Yeah, I guess for one, I'm curious about like creatively, you know, like as far as the actual music that you were making, but also just in your career and professionally as well.
I definitely leaned on it as like a crutch and like believed that it was helping my creativity or whatever, which is totally not true at all. Yeah. I mean, there are certain ideas I might have had when I was high that I wouldn't have had sober, but like that creativity, like is still there. Yeah. It's just like,
and I see that a lot. I see that a lot where people are like, oh, I gotta like smoke weed to get creative, or I gotta like have some drinks to like loosen up. And it's like, you think so, but like you said, the creative energy is there. The muse
is
there.
It's literally not a real thing at all. But like, and at that time, like I really believed that to be like true. So I'm not going to like argue with somebody, but as somebody that's like come out of that and rediscovered creativity, I think it's like just learning how to like channel it in a different way. I would compare it to like, instead of taking like a supplement to get some sort of vitamin, like you start like cooking it in your food, right? So it's like, you're doing the same thing, but it's like, you're approaching it in a slightly different way.
Yeah, you're getting it from the raw source rather than the fake source, right?
Yeah, it's like this kind of false sense of like being super tapped in to like your creativity and spirituality and whatever.
So I hate to admit this, but like I hadn't really been keeping up with what you were making. Like you'd sent me a track like a little while back that I had heard, which was sick. And today I like sat down and I listened to the recent songs.
Really?
I'm so fucking blown away. And I am like, even I was already a fan, but I'm even so much more of a fan now. Like you've been, I feel like you've hit your stride so much in your songwriting. Like it's just a different level. It's just so polished and mature. And also being a metalhead and someone that loves rock, like you're bringing in like so much more of this rock side. It's just fucking sick. Like it really, really shows where you're at creatively. And it's like noticeably different.
The stuff that I've made, like since I got sober, feels a lot more like authentic to me, like as a person. And not to say that the stuff that I was making before was not authentic to me, but it was authentic to an inauthentic version of me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I can hear it like a lot of times too, like when I look at like my Facebook memories or things, like I can like see how hard like I was masking and like trying to like be a part of or like be like other people that I wanted to be like accepted by.
Yeah.
And I think like part of just this whole like sobriety, like healing journey or whatever has just been like getting in touch with, 'cause you know, when you're a kid, and like you like things in such a pure way, and it's just like before you, the world tells you that it's like not cool or that you're lame for liking it. And so my earliest influences like go back to bands like My Chemical Romance and Under Oath and like Green Day and things like that. And that was before all of my like friends or people that I was knew told me that like, oh, that's like not a cool thing to like or whatever, you know what I mean? So I think that like now the things that I'm doing are really just like channeling that kind of like very pure connection that I had to these early influences in a way that's like current, I guess, or just using like the skill set that I have.
Yeah. I mean, like it sounds like you kind of stopped caring about what other people thought or are doing? You know, what was that process like to get back in touch with those influences? And it sounds like there was some letting go of like caring about other people's opinions.
It was really lonely, I think, at first. And the thing is, like, I was lonely already because, like, I would have these experiences where I'd be out with friends or, like, at a festival or whatever. And you could just, like, feel that, like, loneliness or, like, feel like you're in this room full of people, but you still feel, like, really fucking alone. I feel like getting sober, I definitely was really lonely for, like, a while because, like, you figure out, like, who cares and who doesn't when you have nothing to offer them, you know? So I really just, like, noticed a lot of those things. And it was sad in a lot of ways, like, with certain people that I really truly, like, believed were my friends. But there were a couple that stuck around and came through that with me. And there were a lot of new friends that I made. And there was also, like, people that I'd been friends with for a long time, but not really close with.
Yeah.
Who, like, people that were sober, like, Lil Texas is, like, probably my best friend in the whole world. He's one of my best friends in the whole world.
Yeah.
He and I have been friends for a very long time, but, like, I never hung out with him because I wasn't sober and I was partying and he is sober. And, like, so I just kind of, like, adjusted a bit. But, yeah, it definitely is, like, lonely at first because you feel like nothing is real.
Yeah.
But your brain, like, tricks you into thinking that, like, that's because you let go of, like, the toxicity. But the reality is, like, I still felt that way when I was, like, doing drugs. I still felt that, like, feeling of loneliness or whatever.
And I can imagine that that whole process is, it's going to be painful in a lot of different ways, but any sort of transformation is always painful because you have to go through the death of a version of yourself and a death of a lifestyle, right? The death of certain mindsets, the death of who you used to be in order to step into that next version of you are. And that process of letting go can be really hard, right? Like shedding that skin.
Yeah, and, it is tough.
But it's also like we have to clear the stuff off of our plate to make room for the stuff that we really, really want to be there. And we're oftentimes so attached to familiarity or attached to our old friendships. We're attached to the, to these, you know, things that we're so used to. But if you want to live a life that you've never lived, if you want to achieve goals that you've never achieved and you want to get to that level, like you have to let go. You have to clear space, right? And I think that's where a lot of people are stuck is it's like, I don't want to let go of what I know, even if it like hurts and even if it fucks me up.
For sure. And I still have those like kind of thought patterns sometimes, like not wanting to let go of things that are toxic to me or whatever in like way more like nuanced situations than before. Cause before it was just like so dramatic and like chaotic, but like I still notice those same like thought patterns, but I don't know if I ever would have if things weren't as like fucking catastrophically dumpster fire horrible as they were, because I'm really stubborn and I had a lot of moments of clarity. But like clarity means nothing without subsequent action, you know? I had a lot of those moments where you have kind of a moment of ego death and clarity. But if you don't do anything, like you can't think your way. You can't like think or like conceptualize your way into like living or doing or being better. You have to act your way into it because being is like an action, right? I don't know. I'm really grateful for it. And I think about this all the time where I'm like, because there's so many people that don't get it. And not just like in sobriety, but just in life. And it's like what not just like the catalyst for change, but like what was the change? Like identifying like what was the shift? And like, I don't 100% know, but like I do feel like I was just so like broken as a person that I just at some point was just like, okay, I need help. And I was broken enough and my ego was like broken enough to be able to like receive, you know what I mean?
What did you actually do? What were your first steps to turning the corner and getting the support that you needed and actually making the changes that you've been able to stick with?
I was so like down horrendous. I was so miserable. I was so broke. I felt so like alone and miserable. I was like, couldn't pay my rent. Like my whole life was just in shambles and it was just like awful. And then one day I just decided, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Also realizing that like, I'm going to die if I keep going.
Yeah.
That's not even like being dramatic. Like I'm surprised I'm not dead right now. Yeah. Cause like I was really like playing with fire. One day I remember I just started calling around like some rehabs and stuff, and I like reached out to my parents and like this lady who had helped me previously, I was just like, I need help and I don't feel good like asking for it, but I need it. I need to like go to rehab. I need to do something different.
If anybody out there is struggling and they know that they need help and they're struggling with addiction, I want them to know that they do have resources available. And I think the Music Cares offer or whatever it is that they do, I think was pretty rad. Can you speak into that a little bit to share?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on like who you are and how, I guess, relevant you are in the music industry. It depends on like how much funding they'll give you. I don't 100% like know exactly, but it is an awesome program. I just basically like applied through their website. I had a friend that went to rehab through them and told me to go because rehab is expensive, especially like those nice rehabs. The most recent one I went to, I got through like state insurance at the time because I had no money. That program ended up being amazing. The other one I went to was amazing too. I wasn't ready. Yeah. But yeah, Music Cares is awesome. I really like that they have that available. But they like paid for a part of my stay at this rehab in Texas. And it was a great program. I wasn't ready. I really wasn't because I was still so convinced that I was like, I can smoke weed and I can drink because like I don't have a problem with weed. Yeah. I don't have a problem with alcohol.
Yeah.
And just didn't really understand that addiction is not about it's not a drug problem. It's a me problem. So it's like no matter what it is, I'm still going to have that. But it definitely was an important step in the process because I don't think that if I had not gone to rehab in 2018, that I would be sober today. And this last time in rehab would have worked.
And that's a great point right there because, I mean, like so many other things in life, we oftentimes don't succeed the very first time, right?
Yeah.
You might have an artist project that doesn't work, but are you going to quit or are you going to start the next one, right? You might have a business. Most successful business people have many businesses before they actually work. So I think there's a powerful lesson in that is like, all right,
yeah,
even if the first one didn't work, fucking get up and try it again and keep fighting and keep going because there is light at the end of the tunnel and you're such a great example of that.
Yeah, I think it's still like a constant, you know, maintenance thing. I don't think sobriety will ever be. I mean, it's definitely easier for me now because it's become such a.
What do you do for that now?
What do you mean? Like for what?
How do you stay sober? How do you continue to, you know, stay on the right path and stay strong?
Well, I think like a lot of people think that it would be like harder in music to be sober, but I actually sometimes think it helps because I see how stupid people act when they're really fucked up. And I'm just like, damn, I'm so glad that's not me.
That's a good one.
But like, that's just my experience personally. Like there's so many times where I've like been out and I like just see how fucked up people get. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, this is so embarrassing for you. Like, and not even in like a cocky, like, oh, I'm so much better than you. Cause I don't think that way at all. Like, I don't give a fuck if people do drugs or drink. I don't care. But like a lot of people overdo it and they don't even realize it because they're fucked up.
Yeah.
And like, I was the same way. You know, they say like luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And I feel like a lot of the like luck that I've had in my career in the last couple years coinciding with my sobriety, it's not an accident. It's because like I show up every day for myself and for like, you know, my music and whatever. And I think it's just like the main thing I think that keeps me sober is like the choice between like self-love and self-destruction. Mm-hmm. So it's like I could choose if I feel like shit to go do drugs about it or to go eat like shit about it or to fucking do something that's harmful to me in some way, to go hang out with some guy that doesn't treat me well. Or I could choose to like love myself and nurture myself. And by self-love, I don't mean like narcissistic, like, yeah, I'm the shit, because that's not what self-love is. Like acting in self-love is like, you can act in self-love when you fucking hate yourself. If I look in the mirror and I'm like, damn, I look so ugly, or I look so fat, or I look this, or I'm that, and I'm in my flop era and everyone hates me and I hate myself, but I choose to, like, I don't know, do a fucking face mask or like clean my room. Like, that's acting in self-love. And like, if you act, the like feelings will follow, you know, like if you nurture yourself and you take care of yourself, like, those feelings of like, okay, like, I'm glad I did this. And then you're like acting in like alignment with yourself. Like that kind of stuff definitely helps.
What are some of the other things that you do? And what can people do to love themselves?
Well, I think just important to be kind to yourself. But I know that's like easier said than done, because I am so mean to myself. Like, I am the type of person that will like, I will eat like some French fries and I'd be like, I am such a disgusting fat human, like, and I'm just like so mean to myself. But then it's like crazy because like I know that's not true, but then like I just still am like so mean to myself. So I think like trying to just, I guess, remind myself that that's not true. Even though sometimes emotionally I do believe it to be true. And then also like trying to think, like, I remember when I was playing at Red Rocks, I like saw myself on the screen and I was like, oh my God, I look so fucking disgusting. Like, and I was like really sad the whole day because I thought I looked so horrible. And then like my friends were like telling me that they thought I looked great. And I really had to like battle with myself to like believe them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one that's not viewing things correctly. Like, I have really bad body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
And it's like such a trip because I literally will see stuff that's like not real, you know?
It's so true though. I've been stuck in that as well, where, you know, last year, like I had a good like 2 months where I was really depressed and I was just like super low confidence and really out of my power. And, you know, I had so many of my friends that are like, dude, like I kept getting this feedback. They're like, man, I just wish you could see how amazing you are. And it's like consciously, I'm like, I know I am. I know I'm the shit. I know I'm a great person. I know I've done all these incredible things. Like, I know that, but like, it was so buried. It was so lost and I didn't feel it. And it's kind of like, you can have as many people as you want outside of you seeing it and saying it, but it's really not until you see it and you feel it and you believe it. And I don't really know the answer, but that's the only thing that matters, is what the fuck do we feel and do we see about ourselves? It's the most important thing.
Well, I also think like being hot is a mindset, right? You'll see the most like normal people that you're like, damn, like, okay. You know, because they're just so fucking confident and energy. They just like... And so I like what I've been doing recently is like, because I've really struggled like finding comfort and like beauty in myself since I've gotten sober, because I've gained weight and I like was so used to being like literally so skinny. And now I look at pictures of myself and I'm just like, holy fuck, I looked so skinny.
Yeah.
And but I, at the time, like, I still thought I was fat, you know? So like now what I've been trying to practice is like even down to like the way that I walk. Like when I was in Vegas, I was like, I need to walk with confidence. Yeah. Like I need to put on my hot girl walk right now, you know, because like not like walking like with my head down, like all like shy or whatever, because like that confidence, like you don't have to believe it. Just do, you know, you just have to like fake it till you make it type shit.
Yeah.
But as far as like other things that I do to like nurture myself, I think like, just keeping my space clean. I will turn my phone on do not disturb, because like getting off of social media is like really helpful. I'll play video games are really healthy, I think, distraction for me, because I get really into them. And like talking to my friends too, like most of the time your problems or like the ways that you feel that feel really like fucked up in your head, when you tell them to people, you kind of are like, wait, that's not like,
Well, it's like,
I'm kind of tripping, you know?
We carry all of these thoughts inside of our mind, and we have mental energy. It can be so draining. We can exhaust ourselves literally just sitting there thinking. And it shows that there is real energy behind our thoughts. And so oftentimes when those thoughts are just stuck in your head, they're circling around. They don't have anywhere to go. But when you start speaking them out loud, that energy gets out of your mind and just out into the universe, out into the world, and you're not holding on to it anymore. I think journaling is the same way. I love journaling.
Yeah, journaling's good.
Let me just get it out of my mind and it's onto paper, and there's a bit of a release that comes.
Even
with
if it's
that.
Like, I've like had times where I'll like be in my notes app, like where I'm like really just feeling like shit about myself. I literally have notes where it's just entire paragraphs being like, you're so fucking stupid. Like literally just like me talking to myself and being like just super mean to myself, but like getting it out.
Yeah, purging.
It's like, but also the other thing I was going to say, like on that topic, is like acceptance is a part of it too, where it's like, if you feel like shit, don't try to make yourself not feel like shit. Just like do things to like take care of yourself. And like, you know, if your friend was feeling like shit, if one of my best friends came to me and was like, hey, like I feel like shit right now, you'd be like, do you want to go get food? Or like come over and we can like do some fucking self-care stuff, like kind of treating yourself like you would treat like a sick friend or like somebody who's struggling too. And I think like part of that is accepting that in the moment, like even though you're doing these things that are going to like make you feel better once the emotion has passed. But like when you feel like shit, like you're going to feel like shit. Pain is like an inevitable part of life. Suffering I believe is like a choice, but pain is like inevitable. You can't get away from it.
And like you said, what your friend would do ultimately is they might try to do something to shake things up and get you out of it, but ultimately they would love you. And that's what we need to be doing with ourselves. Even when we are low and we do hit those slumps and we don't feel great, we oftentimes just beat ourselves up. We double down. It's like, I feel bad and now I'm beating myself up for feeling bad. And can we love ourselves in those moments and be tender with ourselves? Like, hey, it's okay. You're having a bad day. This is part of life. You're feeling some pain. This is part of life. I still love myself anyways. I still know I'm killing it. I'm still a hot girl. I'm still fucking doing good. You know, it's like, I'm just having a moment, and let me accept that moment and love myself in that moment rather than doubling down on beating ourselves up, which is, you know, I've done 1,000 times. You know, you've made such great progress, like getting out of where you were before, right? Like really being at like the bottom of the pit, so like a rock bottom. And now you're kind of killing it. You're playing shows. You're putting out sick ass fucking music. I'd love to hear a little bit, you know, about where you're at now and what's going on now just in life and in your career. Like obviously continuing to be on this path of recovery and doing the things you need to do to stay healthy, but whatever you're doing is working because you're fucking crushing it. So
thank you.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about what's going on in the world of Hades right now.
Right now, I'm just working on a lot of music, and like I've been touring a lot, so like just trying to take care of myself and my body like amidst all that, because it is really exhausting. And I think that like the lack of sleep definitely can put me in these like very depressed states of mind. So I think like that self-care piece like definitely comes in to play a lot. But also, one of the like best pieces of advice like I ever got was actually from you like years ago, where you were like asking me like, what would you be like outside of music? Like if you couldn't make music like tomorrow, what would you be? And I remember being like, nothing. I would be nothing without Hades, you know? But I think like remembering that even though I'm passionate about music, like Hades is a business. It's a project. And like that it's a piece of me. But like in order to operate properly and like treat it like chess, not checkers, I need to like be objective and be strategic and operate it like I would operate a business because it is one. I think that separation has helped me where I am now, because it is a job. it's a job that I'm passionate about and that I'm grateful for, and I put a lot of my own self and creativity into, but it's still like a separate entity from me as a human being, you know?
Yeah. I don't remember asking you that question, but I will answer it for you. Who you would be is Savannah.
Yeah.
And who she is a fucking badass, strong, powerful, amazing, resilient woman that brings a lot of light to the world. So don't ever forget that. If you do, fucking call me.
You probably will.
I'll remind you. part of me kind of misses your calls when you were breaking down and you needed those pep talks.
I know.
So remember, my door is always open. But I love that you bring that up, because I think that's such an important thing, especially as artists become successful. I've seen so many people lose themselves in becoming the artist. It's like everybody calls you the artist, right? A lot of people are calling you Hades. They're not calling you Savannah. I remember seeing one of my friends who is a very successful artist, and I remember like just seeing him. We bump into each other. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? How have you been? And he's like, oh, like, I've been good. This project is coming out and I'm going on tour with this and I'm doing that. I'm doing all, you know, like, he just started listing all of how the project was doing. And I was like, no. I was like, I didn't ask how's the music going. I said, how are you doing? Like the human, I want to know how the human is doing. And it can be so crazy to kind of lose yourself in that, especially when you're kind of living two lives. It's like one minute you're on stage in front of tens of thousands of people and you're the center of attention and everybody sees you for what you do rather than
actually
who you are.
And then you're like alone in a hotel room.
Yeah, right? And then you're like back home in your apartment taking out the fucking trash like a normal person. And you know, that I remember hearing Flostradamus speak about that being as one of the biggest challenges of like kind of being the highs and the lows, or just like the highs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then coming
it
back
is
to
tough.
Normal civilian life. And it's like an emotional mind.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's definitely like, I've definitely had like a few like breakdowns, like just because you're in these, like, you're flooded with like validation.
Yeah.
And you're flooded with love and this high.
Yeah.
And then
adrenaline and dopamine, and like I imagine what's happening like neurochemically in your mind as well.
Yeah, it's like drugs. And then like you go and then you're like alone in a hotel room and nobody's texting you back because it's 4 a.m and you order Uber Eats and they get your order wrong and you just want to die. And you're like, it sounds so stupid, but it's just such a stark contrast. And I've definitely had like issues with that.
What do you think artists need in that? Like, what kind of support do artists need? It's like there's the physical demand of feeling like physically drained, but there's also this emotional roller coaster that people are on. What would help artists stay centered and grounded? What do they need?
I mean, I can only speak from like my own experience, but like what I do is when I get back from the show, I will like usually shower, or like if I'm lucky enough to have a hotel room with a bath, I'll get to take a bath.
Step
which
number
is amazing.
One, wash your ass.
Yeah, literally. So there's that. But also that's just like a way to like nurture yourself too. You know, you're cleaning yourself, and like I do this, it's very like a quick kind of meditation when I'm like showering or like bathing of some sort, and it's just like visualizing, like just kind of like getting rid of like all the like
the
shit
energy,
you know.
Yeah.
And all of the bad energy, whatever, all like fear, desire, like all these things that like I just need to like get rid of. So I'll do that, and then the other thing that I'll do is I will like pack all my shit up. So like I just organize everything so that I don't have to worry about any more logistical bullshit. And then sometimes I'll call like a friend, if I can call a friend, if it's not too late, call like my managers and chat with them. I'm really lucky to have a group of close friends that are typically up pretty late.
Yeah.
So I think talking to them is definitely helpful. And then sometimes I'll literally just like lay on the bed and like vape and watch like TikTok or something, you know, just to put myself in like a chill space, you know. But yeah, it's different for everyone. I also bring like books and stuff. I don't always read them on the road because I'm just so like adrenaline going crazy when I'm like leaving the show. But yeah.
I'm so intrigued by all of it because I am sitting here in the comfort of my own home every day. I have my morning routine. I go to the gym. I eat healthy. It's like I don't have the same kind of physical and mental and emotional challenges that artists, touring artists do. So it's like, it's so easy to sit here and be like, oh, well, you should do this and you should do this to stay healthy. But I, you know, I haven't actually experienced that for myself. So it's like, it's really interesting to hear that.
I have a routine, even though I am very like not good at routines, if that makes sense. Like, and even when I'm home, like I'm bipolar. So like my energy imbalances a lot, and like, and I take medication for it. So it's like pretty like normalized, I guess. Like I don't have these crazy high highs and these crazy like depressed like lows. But I do still get into like manic and like depressed states. And they mostly now with medication just look like maybe I spent a little bit more money than I should, or like I stay up really late and then I get up at like 9 a.m. and I'm like, time to clean my whole house, or like depressed states where I just sleep a little bit too much or whatever. It's not really a like happy, sad. It's more just like an imbalance of like energy. So because of that, it's really hard for me to have consistent sleep schedule. And like sometimes I'm getting up consistently for a week. I'm getting up at like 8-9 in the morning. And then sometimes I'm getting up at 12:30. Especially with touring, that sleep schedule is really hard to regulate. So what I've done is like forced myself into other routines. So it's like no matter what time I wake up, I always wash my face. I brush my teeth. I like sit down and look at my planner and I'm like, okay, these are the things that I have to do. And recently I've like started working out more. So like that has definitely become like a part of my routine. Whenever I'm on the road, it's more or less the same thing, even though like I can't cook and things like that. It's like I get up, I wash my face, I brush my teeth. If I'm leaving the whatever city it is, like I make sure all my shit's packed up before I chill out and like relax. So I think it's even if you're not doing the same thing at the same time every single day, you can still have a routine.
Yeah.
And I think that like that's really important. Like that ritual is really important for me because if I don't do it, I start to feel insane, you know, and I feel like everything's out of control. And I don't like that feeling when I already have such an irregular like balance of energy in my life, you know?
Let me ask you one more question. What advice do you have for up and coming artists that want to get to where you're at and start touring and having success in their careers?
I would say let go of your expectations, because my life got a lot easier when I realized that nobody owed me shit. Entitlement is a really ugly quality and it doesn't do anything but like repel the things that you want. There's no one way to do this. Everyone has a different leg up or a different set of circumstances because they might know somebody or they might be more plugged in. Or they might have, you know, a stronger brand or a stronger personality on the internet that makes people more drawn to them, even though their music might not be as good as yours or whatever. These are like common things, but everyone's like journey is their own and everyone's set of circumstances is their own. And like when you stop comparing yourself to other people and like realize that the industry doesn't owe you anything and you just need to keep going and like work harder. There's only, you know, power in that, because I know people that blew up in 6 months and I know people that like me who have been doing this for like I've had this project since like 2013, 2014. So it's like it's taken like almost 10 years to even scratch the surface of like what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so there's no one way to do this. Just being a good person and treating people with respect and treating yourself with respect and just not expecting anything of the world or of the music industry, because yeah, I think that's the best advice I could give probably.
I really can't tell you how awesome it is to hear you say all of that, because yeah, knowing the Savannah from 5 years ago, she wouldn't have said that. She wouldn't have known.
I know.
And it's just such a great indication of how much growth you've gone through and how much of a transformation you've gone through as a person and as a human. And I just want to say I'm so proud of you and I'm so excited to see what you do from here. And thank you so much for taking the time to hop on with me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy that I was able to do this with you.